أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Quran City, and in particular, we'll be focusing on Muhammad Square. There are three chapters that literally focus on the respect, the loyalty and obedience to the Prophet. And these are Surah number 47, which is Surah Muhammad, Surah Al-Fatih, which is Surah number 48, and Surah Al-Hujurat, which is Surah number 49. So today we're going to look at Surah Al-Fatih, the victory or the triumph, 29 ayat. It's a Madani Surah. It's a phenomenal Surah, and I'll tell you something from my childhood that I remember about it. So my grandmother used to tell me the story of Nadir Jan, who was a Mughal emperor, who, when he reached the shores of India, and you can imagine, he's reaching there and he sees a child, a young boy, reciting Quran. And he asks him, and he says to the young child, "What are you reciting?" And he said, "Quran, which ayah? What are you reciting?" And he said, "I'm reciting the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatih." And he said, "Repeat it to me." The boy said, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina," surely we have given you a clear victory. And he said, "That definitely means that we are going to be successful in India." So the young boy said, "Well, are you going to give me something? Because my mother won't believe that I have met such an awesome person." So he gave him one coin and he said, "You take it back." And Nadir Jan said, "Why? Why do you want me to take it back?" He said, "Because if I told my mother that such a magnanimous person like Nadir Jan met me and just gave me one coin, she won't believe me. She'd have thought that I've taken it from someone." When he said that, Nadir Jan gave him everything he had, his whole pouch of coins that he had. So this story and sort of father sort of victory stick in my head. Let's look at the historical background of the surah. So the Prophet decides to perform the Umrah of Taqaba. This is in the sixth year. In the fifth year, you had Ahzab, fifth year of Hijrah. Sixth year, you have the Prophet with 1,500 Muslims wanting to go for Umrah, unarmed, with sheathed swords and animals for sacrifice. During Ihram, and they're walking to Mecca, and they camp 10 miles outside Mecca at a place called Hudaybiyah. The Prophet sends a messenger to ask the Meccans for permission to enter. And the Quraysh refused even when the Prophet said they had come just for Umrah and not to fight. So the messenger was sent as Uthman bin Affan. He was a nephew of Abu Sufyan. And he was sent by the Prophet to talk to Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh. Uthman was told, "You can perform the Hajj alone or the Umrah alone, but the rest of the Muslims will not be allowed." And when he refused to take the offer, they sort of withheld him in Mecca. And when he did not return, the Muslims feared that he might have been killed. The Prophet said there was a possibility of a battle now. So he took a pledge from the Muslims who were with him under an acacia tree, saying that they would support him even when faced with death. And the pledge is known as the Pledge of Rizwan. And this is in ayah number 18 of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah was well pleased with the believers, إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةَ, when they swore allegiance with you under the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, and he knew what was in their hearts. فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and he sent down tranquility on them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, and rewarded them with a near victory. Soon after, Uthman returned safe, but with him is Suhail ibn Amr, who was sent by the Quraysh to settle the matter. And as a result, a treaty is signed by the Muslims and the Quraysh. And this is known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The treaty stipulated that the Muslims should return to Medina without performing Umrah. They could return next year for a maximum of 3 days. They should not bring any arms except a sword which is sheathed. There would be no war between the Muslims and the Quraysh for 10 years. If a Meccan visited Medina without the permission of his tribe, he would be sent back to Mecca. But if a Muslim from Medina visited Mecca without permission, he would not be allowed to return. And the treaty would also apply to the allies and the friends of either party. So after 3 days at Hudaybiyah, the Muslims returned to Medina. Now, many of them are very upset because they couldn't go for Umrah. They couldn't enter their hometown. Some of them came from Makkah. They couldn't enter Makkah. And they didn't think this is a victory. And Allah reveals the surah which starts off with, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Surely we have given to you a clear victory. And it shows that the victory of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah brought welcome peace. In the next 2 years, more people became Muslim than in the previous 19 years since the declaration of prophethood. With that in mind, let's look at Surah Al-Fatih. And it also reminds me of Sayyidah Zainab. If you can imagine the tragedy of the day of Ashura, and then when she's asked by Yazid how she found this episode, she says, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I see nothing but beauty. So it's like she's living Surah Al-Fatih. Anyway, so the focus of Surah Al-Fatih is that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was a manifest victory. It obviously talks about the Pledge of Ridwan that we talked about. And there's an inevitable definitive victory of the divine plan, the religion of Allah. And then it also gives you the qualities of those who believe in divine guidance. We're also told, as a did you know, that the Prophet is reported to have recited the surah while riding on his camel on the day of the conquest of Mecca. We divided the surah into five sections. The first section is literally the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which I talked about. The second section, which is ayah 8 to 21, focuses on the Pledge of Ridwan under the Acacia tree, and we've talked about that too. The third section is ayah 22 to 26, which is divinity's assistance in preventing war between the Quraysh and the Muslims. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. In ayah 24, he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ أَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ أَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَقَّةَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَذْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. It is He, Allah, who held back their hands from you and your hands from them in the valley of Makkah after He had given you victory over them. And Allah sees what you do. 4, which is ayah 27 to 29. Ayah 27 looks at the vision of truth to enter Makkah. This is the conquest of Makkah, and this vision is seen by this most awesome prophet. Then we have the statement that Islam will prevail. Ayah 28, where Allah says, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. And the true religion. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And it will prevail over all other religions. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ الشَّهِيدًا. And Allah has enough for a witness. And finally, in ayah 29, and this literally puts it all together. It's the qualities of those who believe in divine guidance. And it's literally likened to a plant that continues to grow and becomes firm. So let's look at these qualities. There's five qualities. And they're also mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil. So number one, they are firm against those who cover up the truth. Number two, they're compassionate with each other. Number three, they pray Salah. Number four, they pursue the blessings and contentment from Allah. And finally, number five, they reflect God consciousness in their faces. That is the impact of submitting to Him in sajda. So let's go over this ayah so we understand it. Allah says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. الَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Those who are with him are firm of heart against those who cover up the truth. Amongst themselves, they're compassionate. Tarahum ruk'an sujjadan. You will see them doing ruku and sajda. Yabtaghuna fadlan min Allah. And they will seek the fadl, the extra grace from Allah wa ridwana and His pleasure. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You will see the marks on their faces because the effect of their sujood. That impact of sajda is not just these black marks we have on our forehead, but literally they reflect God consciousness in their faces. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ. The example, this sort of description has been mentioned in the Torah. Fil Injil, and the example has been given in the Injil. فَذَرْ إِنْ أَخْرَجَ شَطْعَهُ فَأَعْزَرَهُ فَازْتَغْلَذَ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. Like a seed that sprouts firm on its stem, delighting the person who has planted it, angers the one who covers up the truth. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. I love it. Allah has promised those amongst them who believe and do good forgiveness and a great reward. It's an absolutely awesome surah. So maybe when you get some time, recite Surah Al-Fatih. It's a means of protection and victory. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be victorious in our aim at reaching our full potential. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.